The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
The best play in the sport, the best play of the season, this is just incredible, and the Atlanta Falcons choking in an entirely new and unheard of way with this panel. Hello.
Touchdown.
Not often you have the opposing team celebrating your touchdown, but that's what happens with the Falcons. After the exquisite mess that ended game four, the last feat of base pass figuring prominently again in game five. So we start with Margot's gamble, a straight steal of home in a one-run game in game five of the World Series. He was 45 feet down the line when Muncy caught Kershaw's attention. Play was even closer than Saturday night. The tag grazed the wrist. It's the defining moment as the Dodgers go on to win, and they're one game from the title. A steal of home is the definition of risk, but was it too risky? Around the horn, Frank Isola.
Well, the Dodgers have their ace on the mound, and remember, in the bottom of the fourth inning, Tampa had first and third, none out, and Kershaw was getting out of that. So you know what? In that moment, to me, it is worth it. That's where the game was decided, right there in the bottom of the fourth, because it is the tying run. But don't you find it interesting that the Dodgers in game four could not execute a play at home plate, but in game five, they execute the play at home plate, and they end up winning the game.
Was the risk worth it, Pablo Torre?
It was worth it. The Tampa Bay Rays, and I can say this, are the nerdiest team perhaps in pro sports. They worked the odds on this, Tony. They knew that Margot trying to go Robbie was going to be a better percentage chance than, yes, let's acknowledge what I just did there.
That was it's incredible, actually.
It's a better percentage chance than Kevin Kiermaier trying to get a hit against Clayton Kershaw. So it did not work out, but the statistics and those headlines that would have been all made it to me absolutely worth it.
The Wolf of Wall Street and a baseball historian, although I just lost 20 bucks because I had Pablo saying cost-benefit analysis in his answer. You killed me here, Pablo, by not saying it. Kevin Blackstone, how about you?
Oh, absolutely, it was worth it. I mean, that was the talk of the game, trying to steal home. You love that anytime, especially, of course, in the World Series where you never see it accomplished, right, in 65 years. And not only that, but I love the slyness on Margot's part because, remember, he was acting earlier as if something was wrong with his leg. He was limping around a little bit when he got to first base. Then he steals second. They reviewed that. Didn't review this in a cloud of dust, which looked a lot closer. But, man, had he pulled that off, how that may have changed the tide or the momentum at that particular
moment. And not pulling it off also changed the tide and momentum. So that's why I ask you, Tim Kalisha, one-run game, game five of the World Series, a straight steal of home?
At the risk of making unanimous a play that turned out badly, I'm going to do that.
Okay.
If you watch the replay, he is halfway home and Kershaw's hands are straight over his head. You wonder how in the world he's not going to make it. Kershaw was actually very smart. Once he caught him out the corner of his eye, he just steps off the rubber and fires home and throws a perfect pitch. You know, if you bounce that throw, if it's a little wide, he's going to be safe. Margot had stood at third base. He'd watched the bat at bat by Wendell. He'd watched the bat at bat by Willie Adames. It was time to go home, and he gave it a try, and he was out by this much.
I totally appreciate and believe your representation here. This is how the Rays play, even though that was Margot's call, and he said he had never done that before in his life. I agree with that. Kershaw was on the ropes, though, a little bit more in the first four innings of this game than he was in the first game that he pitched, right? So the inevitable question about Kershaw's legacy, your legacy is riding on how you answer Kershaw's legacy, Tim Kalisha. Did he exercise the demons last night?
Well, I mean, I'm going to say it again. I think they have to get the ring. I think they have to finish the job. And then his wins in game one and game five will have the meaning that they need. He's the all-time postseason strikeout leader. He's had some good games in the postseason. Yes, he's had some bad ones too, but I think he's close to finishing it here, and then we can just move
Brad
on
Gazzola?
To that story.
You know, he's been in 20 playoff series before, and it's the first time he's ever won two games. I thought he was outstanding last night when he needed to be first and third in that fourth inning when he gets the first, he gets a pop-up and then a strikeout. And for him to be composed enough to make that play, to me, that is the defining moment of the series, and it's the defining moment of his career, in my opinion. Mm.
Kevin, as we sat down, you said it was all the more impressive because he did it after Saturday night's game, which you fell off the couch watching, and the ending of that game.
Absolutely. But you know what? He's got, Kershaw's got four wins in this postseason, which was as many leadoff hitters as runners as he gave up in last night's game, which put him on the ropes. But you know what? At the end of the day, we'll look back and look favorably upon Kershaw's career.
All right. We've been horned. We'll move on. Football now. We had a statistic on Friday's show. The winner of a matchup between 2 5-0s has gone on to make the Super Bowl every time. So Pittsburgh, lock them in. The big lead early nearly gave it away. Tennessee went backwards on that Tannehill grounding, and then Gostkowski missed the chance for overtime. Tim Kalisha, did you come away convinced that the Steelers, the last undefeated team in the league, could maybe be the best team in the league when all said and done?
I came away convinced I should stop picking Tennessee and ignoring
Thank you for reminding us. Yep,
shows.
Yep.
But I will say this. No, I did not come away convinced of the Steelers. That the offense, better than I thought. Roethlisberger, even with the interceptions, last one's kind of a fluke bouncing off, bouncing around like a ping pong ball there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're better than I thought they were, but they're not better than the Chiefs. They're not better than the Ravens. We'll see as time goes by. They're good. They're in the mix, but their record isn't overly impressive.
Undefeated is not overly impressive, according to Tim Kalisha. How about you, Kevin Blackstone?
Wow, 6-0 is pretty impressive to me. I mean, I like where these Steelers are headed. And we're going to find out very soon how good they are because they play Baltimore coming up next. So that'll be the real fight for the AFC in that part of the country. Are they better than Kansas City? You know, they played four of their first six games at home. Their strength of schedule, if you look at who they've played, with the exception of the Titans, really has not been that strong. But I'm not going to doubt them because of who they played. And they are as much a part of this race as any team in the
division.
Are
we still saying there's a home field advantage, even though there's fans and so few of these?
Same.
And how many home teams won yesterday? I think it was like three, maybe four when Arizona won at night. Torrey, how about you?
Yeah, I don't think the Steelers are the best team in the NFL. They may not be the best team in their division, given the Ravens. And it's important to recognize what they did against the Titans. They ran the ball, Tony, 29 of their first 32 plays. They outgained the Titans 161-1. That's the lead they were working with. They ended up squandering all of that in the second half. So for me, it's not can you beat a team and craft a game plan against a team that needs to have Derrick Henry at his best to really be productive. It's what do you do against an offense like Kansas City's, like Baltimore? Can you do something like that against them? And my instinct as of right now is no, they can't.
Brian Gaisola?
Well, Pablo loves stats. The Steelers converted 13 of 18 third down conversion. So they were very good there. But, you know, Tony, you love the whole heat culture. Guess who else has a culture? The Pittsburgh Steelers. And there have been a couple of down years, but Mike Tomlin kind of knows what he's doing. And Ben Roethlisberger, I know he's not going to be the feel-good story of the year, but think about the way that he has played. I get the three interceptions, but for the most part, they've been protecting him. He's winning games. He looks like he's got a lot left in the tank.
And Tennessee's first loss coming down to Gostkowski's foot again.
Yeah.
Right. Isola, you're beginning to question whether Gostkowski's the man in Tennessee?
You know, we know that he has the nerves to make those kicks. Maybe he's just lost it. He's too good to be missing this many. I think that his job has to be in jeopardy, unfortunately for him.
Cardinals 37, Seahawks 34. What a game this was. There was some mesmerizing, beautiful plays. Russell Wilson dropping it perfectly into the bucket for Lockett. Kyler Murray, look at him. He laughs when he sees Hopkins is in single coverage and he hits his man here. DK Metcalf, ludicrous speed. We're going to talk about that in a second. But Arizona the win late after not leading all game. Murray's signature win. Wilson's first three interception game in 3 years. Pablo, what did Arizona show you? What did Seattle tell you?
Well, Seattle told me that they only play games that feel like they've been dosed by psychotropic drugs. Like, this is more than just a trend. This is something that's endemic to how they play. A really bad defense, a really good offense, and then chaos in the middle. But the Arizona Cardinals, Tony, Kyler Murray, beyond being one of the most fun players to watch in the entire league, they are benefiting from one of the worst trades that have ever been made in the last decade, and that is DeAndre Hopkins being gifted to them. So Kyler Murray can laugh literally, as he pointed out, in the faces of the defenses. That is a team I absolutely have faith in going forward.
Devin Blackstone?
Yeah, I mean, I actually love it. I mean, first of all, I'll write it off as an unusually bad night for Wilson. I mean, you showed the great throws there, but the picks were really not what we expect from him, especially when he got the ball back again to win the game and not to be able to put it away. That was stunning. But you know what? Kyler Murray and those Cardinals, they are fun to watch. Absolutely. He's got the fastest feet, by the way, in the NFL, running around like a cartoon character out there. And
baseball
Pablo's play. Absolutely right. He's got weapons to be dealt with when he's on. So, yeah, I like the Cardinals.
DC, was this more about what Arizona did for you or what Seattle failed to do this one game?
I would say Arizona. I think it's a big night for Cliff Kingsbury, a big night for Kyler Murray and that team. They had won some nice games, but beating Seattle, even at home, they'd been losing to them forever in Arizona. And to come back from a big deficit and to kind of screw up with that one field goal try too early, and then get another chance. But Kyler basically went toe-to-toe with Russell Wilson and said, I can make all the same plays, and frankly, I'm a better runner. So let's go for it.
Frank Isola.
It was a signature win, certainly for the head coach and the quarterback of that team. And, you know, you mentioned DeAndre Hopkins. Murray finally discovered him. He targeted him 12 times. He had 10 catches in the game. And, Tony, Russell Wilson in that stadium had the worst interception of his career, Malcolm Butler. This one wasn't as bad, but for a quarterback of his caliber, not good enough in
this
overtime.
This was definitely not as bad as wait a second. All right, so Wilson has about three perfect passes, and then he has the three interceptions in the game. But nobody thinks this is anything more than a one-off of Wilson. I mean, we're not, yeah. Okay. DK Metcalf, I said before, the straight steal of home is the most exciting play in the sport of baseball. For me, this is as exciting as it gets in football, too. How can that be? This is just two humans running. But this is a Terminator moment. Can a wide receiver running down a safety 90 yards to save a touchdown be the play of the season, Pablo?
It can, because that looks fake. It looks like a deep fake. Yeah. Arms that big, pumping like that seems impossible. It's like seeing an orca move at like 70 miles an hour in the water. Nothing that big should move that fast, and yet it does.
Play of the season, Isola?
Even Daniel Jones couldn't believe that one. I will say this. It looked like a man chasing after a little kid. What an athlete that guy is. Incredible.
I know some people have made comparisons to Dom Beebe and Leon Lett, because that's a famous chase down. But that was different for me, because that let that happen, because he was showboating. For me, the two that compare, Benjamin Watson. You remember this? Benjamin Watson in the playoff game. And this was Champ Bailey. He was one of the fastest guys in the sport. And Benjamin Watson got him down at the one-yard line.
That was a great
And Larry Allen, look at the big 350 pounds and a chase down here.
Play of the year.
We'll be back by ourselves.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The latest on Andy Dalton in concussion protocol. Status uncertain for next week. John Bostic ejected for the hit. And after the game, Mike McCarthy talked about his team's response to it.
We speak all the time about playing for one another, you know, protecting one another. So it definitely was probably not the response that you would expect.
A source telling Adam Schefter, Bostic not expected to be suspended. Tim, how'd you see it all?
I mean, I that's got to be the definition of a play that should get suspended. They have all kinds of rules to protect quarterbacks. He's sliding. They go straight for the head. But it was a terrible job by the Cowboys. Amari Cooper stands there and grabs his head. None of the linemen do anything. Nobody comes to his defense. It was a horrible game for Dallas, but that might have been the worst play.
So you read into that team quite a bit, like McCarthy did. Where were the teammates during all of this?
I think he was stunned. I think he's stunned. I mean, we've seen all kinds of guys get hit and players rush and they start some sort of scrum. There was nothing. Nobody came to
it. KB, do you think it's a suspendable hit?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't know how you don't do it. I think the league really needs to look at their rule book and look at this videotape very closely to understand what you need to do. And McCarthy's absolutely right, and I think this transcends to the rest of the team. They showed no fight during the game. They showed no fight for a teammate. You got to question where they're at.
It's totally suspendable, Tony, but I think this is also something of a red herring, if you will, given the other issues the Cowboys were facing on Sunday. They started four backup linemen. They could not stop fumbling. They give up 200 yards plus rushing, right? This is a team that is terrible at every level. To focus on the teammates' reactions to this specific play is kind of letting everybody else off the hook, who's also probably even worse.
Frank Isola. If you care about player safety and the health and well-being of your players, you have to suspend him for that hit. I mean, give me a break. And it was also very telling that the Cowboys just all stood there. That is not a together team, and they prove it every week.
They're still in the conversation in the division, though. Kevin, you said, as we sat down, this was what? The worst
Cowboys team I've ever seen.
Worse than the 1-15 team.
Oh, absolutely worse than that. That was a
Troy
different
Aikman
situation. They were rebuilding. Yeah.
We'll move on. Buy or sell two.
The team had gotten rid of all the
You and the guy he told you not to worry about. If you split screen the New England game and the Tampa game, which you could have done, you would have had Brady going 369 and 4 on one side and Cam getting benched on the other. Worst home loss in Belichick's career in New England. First three-game losing streak in 18 years. Kevin, did you come away thinking this was a Cam problem or a roster problem? What happened to the Patriots?
This right now is a Cam problem. Let's not sugarcoat it. He's thrown five interceptions post-COVID. Before that, he at least gotten into the end zone four times on runs. This team is so predicated on his ability to produce that with him playing like that, there's no way they win.
So what changed? I mean, his production has fallen off a cliff after the first couple of games. What changed, Kev?
I mean, maybe it was because they didn't get that practice time, but that's certainly not an issue this past week. Maybe he needs more talent around him, but he should be better than what he's proving right now.
Yeah, his mechanics look off. You can't write off the injury history as a factor. We don't really know how COVID affects people, though he says he's not experiencing brain fog. But to Kevin's point about those five interceptions, it's not just post-COVID. It's five picks in his last 40 pass attempts. He has been totally abysmal, Tony. And yeah, I don't really know what you do if the backup is Jared Stidham.
Frank Isola?
Nine completions, three interceptions. I mean, at this level, and that's a former MVP. The accuracy isn't there, but the roster, Tony, in the first half alone, the 49ers had 18 first downs. The Patriots had 16 plays. That's how bad they're doing on both sides of the ball.
This was a defense last year that was among the top in the league. They let half the team go. Tim Kalishaw, is that the problem, or is it that Cam may never be what you thought he could be the first couple games this season?
I'm focused more on letting half the team go. When that was happening, we all wondered, is Belichick really going to have a plan to get through this? And we always used to say with the defense for yesterday's game, was he going to take away Kittle? Is he going to take away the running game? Is he going to take away the wide receivers? How about none of the above? How about he lets them have it all? How about he lets the team get run over 33-6?
You got a little worked up about that, Tim Kalish. So were you personally invested in this
game?
Well,
it was time to get worked up.
You thought you were going to rally, get you some
Cowboys?
Points to get into the showdown. Not happening for you.
Stealing in the second.
All right, Sola. Blackstone Tories showdown next. Look at this photo. Lions celebrating a Falcons touchdown. They knew what was up.
Oh, boy.
It's showdown next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
A game-losing touchdown. The imponderable muddle that is the Atlanta Falcons. Gurley could not slow down. He scored with time remaining. And Stafford to Hockenson at double zeros. KB, does Todd Gurley deserve blame here? Or is that going a bit too far? Because clearly supernatural vexation is at play with these Falcons.
You know, I know we're on the edge of Halloween, and so you would think that, but let's just call it what it is. What horrible play by the Falcons to give up a 75-yard, eight-play run by the Lions with less than a minute to go, basically. That's a joke of a team.
Well, hold on. Todd Gurley, KB. He had done this twice before with the Rams and then can't do it suddenly. That, to me, speaks to not just vexation and mysticism, but also like a Superfund site. He might be mutating stuff on his body.
Yeah, if I were the fantasy owners that lost those touchdowns years ago when he was with the Rams, I would be asking for those points back right now. Pablo Torre, points. We'll move on. The incandescent chaos that was Indiana Penn State. The beauty and the truth is in the eye of the beholder here. You ask 100 people what happened here and they have a different opinion. Pablo, was he in or not? Did Indiana win or Penn State get robbed?
I think Penn State got robbed. I think that ball hit that out of bounds line before it hit the interdimensionality of the pylon, which I still don't understand. So yeah, I think Penn State got jobbed there.
Pablo, you're absolutely right. It is the interdimensionality of the pylon. We know that you can touch a pylon anytime, any place, anywhere on the planet Earth, and that means you score. That's what happened here. It's the pylon.
I don't even know the words you guys were using there in your answer. I'm just gonna step away from the sticks and point. Pablo Torre, FaceTime.
I wanted to talk to you guys about this kicker from Rice who quadruple doinked that field goal and then got another kick blocked to lose the game very narrowly against Middle Tennessee State. I feel so bad for him, but not so bad that I won't use him as a segue about Rice cookers, rice kickers, rice cookers. If you don't have a Japanese rice cooker, the kind that sings a song to you at the very end of that fluffy, beautiful, moist rice being cooked, you have the wrong rice cooker. You need the native brand. I'm not gonna try to pronounce it because I can't, but trust me, it needs to be Japanese and it needs to sing to you.
Quadruple doink.
News we can use, Pablo Torre. Thank you for that. On a 23 and a half hour break.
Rice cooker.
See you tomorrow.